Welcome to Pause the Game. Well, hello, Jason.
Hey, how's it going?
Great to have you here. And it has been quite some time, but we finally have the whole crew together. That's Jason Smith, Nate Andrews, Raymond Morse, and Scott Thompson, which is me. And yeah, it's been quite some time, but we find ourselves now at the end of the year. So I think what we'll do today is talk about what we've been playing over the past 2.5 months. We haven't done this. And then we'll kind of go through and talk about some of our favorite games from this year, as well as some of our biggest disappointments and surprises. Let's see. Let's start with getting people kind of pissed off. Jason, what have you been playing lately?
Right now I'm playing the cold game, but...
and losing.
Yeah, I'm getting my ass kicked to this. I suck at games. what have I been playing? Let me see. You want to get pissed people off? All right, let's start off with Modern Warfare 2, which I no longer own because wasn't that great. I picked it up. I was really excited to play it. You know, I saw they made some changes to the multiplayer, but one of the biggest changes I wanted them to do was to improve the clan support, which they did not. I'm sorry, you know. Killzone 2 came out at the start of this year, and they had awesome clan support. You actually had to get invited to a clan. There was organization. You could play clan versus clan. They had a web page for tracking a clan's development. You could even review, videos that the clan made to strengthen your play style, to figure out where you had problems. And Modern Warfare 2 comes out, and it's got the same clan support as for the first one. Oh, you want to be in a clan? Sure, go ahead. Throw three letters in front of your name. Bam, you're in a clan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just really dropped the ball, as far as I'm concerned. As far as like taking multiplayer to the next level, and you know, they didn't do that. You know, sure, they gave you some new perks. You know, there's some new maps, which are, you know, they're kind of okay, but I still think that they needed some larger maps. I still think that if you pick a sniper rifle, there's not a lot of maps that allow a sniper to play to their strengths, which is, you know, staying hidden undercover, taking out a couple key targets. The maps aren't really made for that. The maps are made for just running around and running and gunning. Which, you know, it's fun for a while, but after, for me, it was like 2 weeks. I was like, all right, I'm bored of this. And so that was a huge disappointment. And then the single player was just such a letdown. Like, I really enjoyed the first Modern Warfare single player campaign. I thought it was fantastic. I like what they, you know, I thought they had some nice moments where you kind of felt like an emotional impact, you know, with the whole, the nuclear blast, and then like your character crawling to his death and stuff like that.
Right.
It was fantastic. And then this game comes out, and I'm playing through the single player, and you know, it's like right off the back, you know, they try to give you like this emotional impact with the level that has you going through the airport, you know, killing, you know, innocent people, but. You know, I mean, there was a brief moment of shock for me when that level first started. I was like, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
And then it just became kind of comical. Because you're not really, you know, seeing all that much emotion, you know, from the characters that you're shooting. And, you know, I kind of took it. I didn't take it too seriously after a while. I was just like, oh, look, oh, that guy's trying to help that person. Oh, he's so nice. I'll just shoot you both, you mm-hmm. know. And then, you know, I didn't personally do it, but I know some people who play that entire level without shooting anybody. And it doesn't change the outcome of that level. You don't have to shoot anybody. You can just walk through the level and nobody says, hey, why aren't you shooting anybody?
Right, it doesn't blow your cover at all.
Right.
That is true. I mean, it would be interesting if there was a point where, you know, they make you shoot someone, you know, and if you don't, then, you know, your cover's blown and then the mission, you know, changes from there on out.
Right.
That would have been interesting.
You know, not to mention the fact that there's a huge gap in time between when you're initially recruited for this mission and that level that they just don't talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how did you get in with those guys? You know, what have you had to do up to that point? You know, when was your cover blown? And, you know, how long have they known that you were, you know, not who you said you were?
Right.
And it just kind of comes off as like, okay, you know, that's nothing, you know, there's nothing really there. And you know, the rest of the single player experience is, there's a couple of, like, I guess levels that I thought were okay. Yeah, the level that they showed early on with the scaling the side of the mountain and fighting your way through the base using the little radar on your gun. I thought that level was okay.
You actually liked that level?
I thought it was okay.
I thought it was gimmicky for the sake of just being gimmicky. I thought it was one of the weaker levels in the whole thing.
Well, the entire game's full of weak levels. I mean, don't...
No, yes. The weakest being the end.
Oh, yeah, the end is just... You know, the thing that scares me about the end is this, is that for those of you who haven't already beat the game, shame on you. It's like, you know, maybe 3 hours of semi, you know, easy, you know, play. Like, you should beat it. The game ends in a huge cliffhanger. Like, you have no resolution to anything at all. It's just like, bam, all right, you're kind of left out in the cold. Now what do you want to do? And my problem is with Activision switching the franchise off between Infinity Ward and Treyarch, does this mean Treyarch's going to be making the conclusion of the series? Or am I going to have to wait 2 years to find out how this turns out, how this finishes?
I would think 2 years. I don't think they'd let Treyarch continue. I mean, maybe they'll do something in the same universe, but I don't think it'd be a direct sequel.
Two years seems too long. The way the game leaves off, Scott, have you finished it?
No. I haven't even played it, but I have no real interest in it, so that's okay.
Okay. Well, and Nate, are you playing it? Have you played it? Are you planning on playing it?
No, I haven't played it either.
Okay. The way the game is off, it's not like a, you know, obviously at some point you're going to be betrayed by somebody. And so the resolution of the game has another one of those moments where you're, like at the end of the first game, how you... You know, it was like slow motion. You had to kill the guy before he killed somebody else or something.
Right.
It works out the same way. Like, you're in a battle with a guy that betrays you, and you're trying to, you know, you end up killing him. And, hold on. And so you do it, and it's, and the two guys that are alive at the end of it, they're going to go into hiding because... They, you know, the rest of the world believes that they're responsible for this, like, great and horrible act. So the one guy says to them, like, I know some place where we can go hide out. And then the game's over. It's like, excuse me?
Well, like, what they fail to mention is the great and horrible act was Infinity Ward making that single player experience.
Yes.
I didn't like the first one. Which I'm probably in the minority of people that did play the campaign, but I hated the campaign even more on the second one. It was only worth finishing just so I could, you know, not have Jason spoil it for me.
I mean, did you think that single-player campaign should have been co-op? Is that one of your complaints?
No, I just think it wasn't fun. There wasn't any of these... Everyone keeps talking about water cooler moments from the first one, and I didn't see any of that, and I certainly didn't see anything that was that amazing in the second one. It just, I don't know, felt like your typical first-person shooter. That's why I don't play campaigns in first-person shooters. I just want to kill other people. I don't care about the story because they normally suck.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what I've heard, too, is that the second one, they tried to, yeah, sort of replicate those moments that had everyone talking, you know, whether it was your character dying or, you know, the part where you're in the plane and you're shooting people, you know, and you're just so removed from the experience. I heard they tried to replicate that a lot and for the most part didn't pull it off as well as it was in the first one.
Well, yeah, no, and the thing too is, like, the moments that they try to create are they try to create, like, you know, like almost like an emotional impact in, like, some patriotism by having a lot of the action take place on American soil.
Well, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, they expect you to kind of, like, be shocked by images of the Washington Monument, you know, being in, you know, being damaged by the ravages of war and stuff. And, you know, it's just, for me, it didn't really have any impact whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I was playing through it, it was just like, okay, this is just another level. You know, I would say up until the end of the game, I thought that I was, you know, I wasn't having a bad time playing through it. But it's just that the game feels so completely unfinished that it just kind of, I was like, okay, this, you know, it irritated me. And it changed my whole opinion of the game, that the end was, you know, unfinished almost, basically is what I'm, you know, it just feels like.
Right.
So, you know, but like I said, I played it. I got to like level 20 something in multiplayer, and then I was just, you know, I was disinterested by the fact that they really hadn't made a whole lot of changes to it, and so I just kind of, I was done with it. I was like, okay, you know, I've had my time to move on.
You know, I wanted to ask about the clan support. So apart from adding the three letters to the front of your name, is there anything else? I mean, are there clan like rooms you can join? Is there stats? I mean, is there anything like that?
No, there's nothing like that.
Okay.
You know.
It's pretty much the equivalent of, like, playing Counter-Strike back in the day, and you just change your name in the console and just add three letters to the front. That's basically it.
Right. Well, you don't even have to change your name. You just add it. It just asks you if you want to add a clan tag. So you could just, you know, you can just throw up whoever you decide clan tag to put up there.
Right.
Know? If you see some clan you think is good, you can just kind of, like, go, oh, no, I'm in that clan.
Really? And there's no way that they can stop you?
No. There's nothing they could do.
Wow. That all opens up some great griefing opportunities. Can you add the tag in the middle of the game?
I don't think you can do that.
No.
That is unfortunate. It would be great to play with the clan and then just make yourself part of the clan.
But you can add it in the lobby after a match. So if you stay in the room, you can just say, oh, no, I'm in the clan.
Oh, yeah, like in between matches?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good.
I don't think anyone's going to be joining my clan, so, you know, I'm not worried about that one.
Did you make a clan?
Yeah.
And what are the initials?
Jason was part of it, too. Well, the initials were PTG.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Very
it's,
nice.
It's now a clan of one since Jason doesn't play.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe I will have to play the game just to join the PTG clan.
There you go. We can go shoot people.
Here we go. But what else? What else have you been playing, Jason?
I've been playing Assassin's Creed 2 and Dragon Age Origins.
Okay. Now, did you like the first Assassin's Creed?
I liked the concept of the game. I didn't like the execution so much. I'm one of the people that thought it was kind of repetitive with the whole mission structure.
Right.
I know there's a lot of people that thought it was repetitive, but I tended to agree. But they really listened to a lot of the criticisms that people had for the first game, and the second game is a, you know, drastic improvement over the first one. The mission structure, there are some repetitive parts, but most of the times most of the repetitive missions are optional. The actual missions that you have to complete for the, you know, to progress through the game tend to be mostly unique, which is nice. It's got at one point in the game you get a you take control of a palazzo, which is Italian for a palace, I guess, or something like that. And as you complete missions, you earn money and you can go back to the palazzo and you can upgrade the facilities. So you can upgrade the different shops so that they'll sell stuff for you at a discount. I'm sorry. I think I have to cough.
It's all right.
So, You go and you do the missions and you get the money to come back to your palazzo, and you decide and you go to the architect and you're like, you know what? I really think that we need to upgrade the, you know, the art store because I want to buy some different paintings. And so as you go back to the palazzo and the surrounding village and upgrade the stuff, there are it increases in value and it actually generates funds for you. So as long as you're playing the game, like every 20 minutes, it's general journal.
Oh.
Sorry. It'll generate a sum of money for you, which you can then use to, you know, upgrade your armor. And you can even buy, like, it's a cosmetic, you know, it's just a cosmetic thing, but it's definitely nice to be able to change the color of your outfit and be able to blend in with the, you know, the more colorful outfits of the Renaissance period. Because when you first start out, you are kind of wearing the all-white garb of the assassin.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, coughs and phone calls galore.
Professional is our middle name.
Not mine.
So it does bring the environment to life a little bit more than the last one, which was, you know, kind of, yeah, all the different cities look you know, very similar. So it was kind of nice to see the changes that they made. And
right, and even just something different that you can do apart from just the missions, I'm sure is a nice break.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I spent a lot of time upgrading the upgrading my palazzo, and I'm completely done with it. Everything in the palazzo is upgraded. Like, and as you upgrade it, the different storefronts and stuff in the city, as you generate more money, the palazzo actually gets repaired to the point where, because when you first move in, like, the windows are kind of boarded, it looks really run down and kind of dumpy, and so it was kind of nice to fix it up and, you know, see the end result. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I said, the different cities you visit, they all, you know, they do have a different look and feel. Obviously, Venice is not going to look like any of the other cities that you're going to go visit because of the canals and the way those kind of factor in into hiding, because you can dive into a canal to and submerge yourself to avoid detection. So it's a nice option. And it looks, you know, fantastic, and the story is really compelling. The point I'm at in the game, I'm not entirely sold that the people I'm working with outside of the machine are my friends.
Okay, so like in the present day world?
Right.
Got it. The future, and whatever it is?
Yeah, and it's you know, it's just, you know, the way things have been going up to that point, you're just not entirely certain, like, who's on the up and up, you know, like, who am I really working with? What's the real, you know, what's really going on? So, you know, that's all very good. So yeah, I've been playing that and, been enjoying that. And then when I'm not playing that, I'm playing Dragon Age Origins, which is, a huge surprise to me, because even though I'm a BioWare fan, I did not care for Mass Effect. And I guess going into this game, I was a little apprehensive about it. And it turned out to be completely, you know, a really compelling game with a good story, great characters, and a really good combat system that I'm really enjoying.
Mm-hmm.
So,
are you playing it on PC or on PS3?
I'm playing on PS3.
Okay.
So, are you playing it, or are you playing it?
I am thinking about it. It's definitely sort of on my radar. I do want to play it on PC, and my PC, as we've talked about, my power supply was busted. But now that I do have that all repaired, I am interested in picking it up.
Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely recommend it. I haven't got to the point yet where I can have sex. But I've been working on the one kind of surly mage that you pick up in early in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And she's kind of a fun character, because it really kind of makes me think how I'm going to proceed in the game, because there are a lot of side missions that you can do, and as you decide to do them, she just, you know, she gets more and more irritated with you. And because she's like, are we going to stop and help everybody on the way?
Right.
She's like, I'm sure the, you know, the horrible evil we're going to face at the end of this is going to be really impressed with all the work we did for the small people along the way.
That's pretty funny. It's kind of like breaking the fourth wall there a little bit.
Yeah. She's definitely a very, you know, compelling character, and it was kind of fun to, you know, mess around with her. And it's like I'm constantly having to go back and, like, smooth things out with her because I am stopping to do all the side missions, and she hates it. So as I'm agreeing to help people, I just see her happiness rating going down and down and down. So I'm like, I'm always like going to go talk to her to smooth things out, giving her gifts, you know. Like, I know you don't agree with me, but I still want to fuck you later on. So can we just kind of, you know, smooth this out?
Yeah,
can
we just kind of get along?
Yeah. Like, I promise it'll be good for both of us.
Everyone wins.
Yes. You know, so that's some good times right there. So I've been playing that. I'm not too far into it because I kind of started a, you know, when I started one character and I kind of played it and I was like, okay, this is kind of cool. But then I heard some like kind of really cool things about the elves in that game, and so I went back and I created an elf rogue, which is kind of fun, and like their starting story, holy hell.
Wasn't that the thing? Each race has its own starting area and story, basically.
Yeah, and in this game, like elves are kind of the downtrodden of society. They're like the lowest. You know, they're like basically like indentured servants most of the time, with no real rights of their own. They do have like their own houses and stuff like that, but it's always like in the dumpiest part of a town. So I created a rogue, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna play chick. And further evidence of my man card is gone, right? Right. I mean, and yeah. So,
well, it depends. So, are you trying to get your female rogue to have sex with the female mage?
Oh, obviously, yeah.
Then that's probably the ultimate man card thing you can do.
Yeah,
I'm still not giving it back to him for that. It doesn't matter.
Like that was like, you know, that was like I'm going to do this because I want this to happen, and like. The game starts off with you being, like, promised marriage to this other elf. And so it's like on your wedding day, these, like, human nobles come and decide that they want to have their way with you and all of your friends.
Wow.
So they take you back to their palace, and they end up killing one of you because she was back talking to humans. And so, like, the rest of the level is, like, you just murdering everybody in the estate.
What about if you play as a male elf? Would it still be the same?
Oh, if you play a male elf, then you're going to go rescue your bride.
Oh, okay, yeah, I see.
So, it's not that completely unique in that there's different, you know, completely different storylines. It's just a different perspective of the same story. But you know, it's really good. And so yeah, I started the second character, and I'm going to be playing through as that. But I heard it is actually much better on the PC, and I wish that I knew my PC could handle it. But since I don't, I just chose to go with the PS3.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's probably a safe bet. I bet there's a demo you could download, though, and you could
try it out.
Yeah, but it's also the game that killed your PS3.
Yeah, well, it's because it had Dragon in the name.
Is that how that works?
Yeah. Well, Dragon Age, Blue Dragon killed my 360 when I had a 360. And then I put Dragon Age Origins in my PS3 when I got it, and it killed my PS3.
I was going to say, let's talk about that for a second. You've had some console woes as of late, but wait, I haven't done a podcast since this has happened. So why don't you walk through the timeline there, what exactly has occurred?
Well, in October, when we last aired podcast, I had a 360, a PS3, and a Wii.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a look at the 360, and I just realized that I wasn't using it very often. I was just like, I don't really play anything on this, and there's no reason really to keep it. So I decided to go ahead and, you know, part with it. So I took the 360 and I traded it in along with a few games, and I paid off, you know, pretty much all the games I wanted to get for the holiday season. And, you know, I was playing some great stuff, and then I picked up Dragon Age Origins, and took it home to play it, and, you know, it came with a bunch of codes for all the stuff that I had unlocked, so I was like, all right, I'm going to install this stuff. And, like, halfway through one of the installs, it locks up, and it just absolutely dies on me. Whenever I tried, I tried restarting it, I tried unplugging it, and it would, sorry, it would start up, and then the green light would go like a lighter shade of green, and then would go to a flashing red.
Oh, wow.
And I couldn't even eject the disc from the game. Oh, and really? I had one of the you know, the first 60 gigs. So there wasn't a manual eject button. So I ended up having to take in the PS3 to GameStop to trade it in because they'll take damaged goods. And in order to replace the PS3, I had to also get rid of my Wii, which, you know, I guess I'm kind of bummed about that. I actually was enjoying the Wii, but we have all these Blu-ray movies and all these games with PS3. I had to replace it, so I replaced it, and it's running good. But yeah, now I went from a 3-console guy to a 1-console guy.
Did you get the Slim?
Yeah, I got the Slim. I got the Slim. I got the 120.
Oh, okay. How do you like the Slim? I haven't talked to anyone who actually has the Slim. Unless Raymond does. I don't know if you do, Raymond. I know you talked about it, but...
I have a 60, my original 60 and a Slim now, so, yeah.
Okay. So how do you guys like the Slim?
I like it. Okay. It's, you know, it's definitely a lot smaller. For me, it's quieter. Mm-hmm. The only problem I'm having right now is that for some reason, and I gotta look into this, my controllers don't always stay paired, and I don't know why that is.
Oh, really? So you have to, like, sync it back up?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's kind of weird because like I'll start it up and the controller will just kind of sit there and flash at me like, you know, like it's not synced, and so mm-hmm. I'll plug it into the PS3 and it'll sync up, and it'll be like the first person, you know, like the first person light pops on.
Yeah,
I'm like, all right, and then I unplug it and it's like, oh wait, we're not synced.
Hmm.
I'm like, why is this not synced? So that's the only problem I'm having, but it doesn't happen all the time. It just, you know, occasionally pops up. So I'm kind of learning to live with it. So
I think it's loud.
I mine's not loud, so I don't know what's up with that.
Louder than the original?
I don't hear any noise from my original, but when I put discs in the Slim, it sounds like it's going to eat them.
Really?
I mean, I can hear the mechanisms moving in there. It's like, that just seems really... like, not a good sign, but it doesn't get used as much as the 60, so I guess I'm not too worried.
So, like, why did you feel compelled to buy a second one? I mean, is it, like, in the bedroom now, or is it something like that?
Well, I basically bought the second one from my parents. It's mine, but mm-hmm. they get to use it for now, so...
Oh, okay.
That's not the only reason.
They play a lot of games? Or?
He's worried that his 60 is on, because... Let me tell you this. I think he had, like, a coworker had a 60 go out on him, or a mm-hmm. customer. And then my 60 went out on me. And then, like, 2 weeks after my 60 went out on me, my girlfriend's brother, his 60 went out on him.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if we've reached, like, the end of the first 60 gigs life cycle, and they're all just kind of shutting down now.
Right.
Or what. But I think he's worried that he's going to be.
Well, I have a 60 gigs. And mine's been fine so far. Although, but I do have a friend, but I don't know if his is the 60 gig, because he got his at launch, so I don't think they had the 60 gig then, did they? Was it just 80 and 20?
No, it was 20 and 60 at launch.
Oh, it was 20 and 60? He might have... I don't know if he has a 20 or a 60, but either way, his is starting to go out on him. It powers on and everything, and everything's fine, but certain games, and it's not every game, he can play some games, but certain games, he can play a couple minutes, and then it just locks up. But then other games, he can just play... as long as he wants, but these certain games that lock up, it's always the same spot that they lock up. It's kind of weird.
Maybe they're just bad games?
Well, no, I think it was Uncharted 2, and okay. What was the other one? I don't know, but he's tried different copies, too, because he rents them, so he'll go and he'll rent a different copy. You know, he'll take it there, he'll say it doesn't work, so they'll give him a different copy, and still in the same spot, so.
Weird.
Yeah, it's very peculiar.
Walk through the heart of
right. So, well, Raymond, what have you been playing lately?
Lately, not much. In the last couple months, well, Borderlands. A lot of Borderlands.
Okay. How was Borderlands?
Absolutely amazing, especially for a game that I had no interest in when it was announced, and no interest in until, like, right when it came out, and then I just, like, oh, I'm going to pick this up. I mean, it's a first-person shooter with lots of loot. Yeah, that was a bad idea. Now, if I have the disc in, it means I'm going to sit there and stare at the TV for the next 5 hours, doing nothing but playing Borderlands. In fact, Jason and I had started playing together. I'm like, yeah, we're going to level together. Yeah, that's working out real well. I've got a level 50 on my second playthrough, and he's just now hitting 30 on his first playthrough.
Well, in my defense, my PS3 did die, and you know, and I had to start over.
Yeah, but you're still going slow, dude. Hurry up. But no, Borderlands is just, I don't know. I think it hits that perfect spot, just like Phantasy Star Online did for me. It's just a loot grind, especially at this point. I mean, and of all things, it's the first platinum trophy I've ever gotten on the PS3.
Oh, wow.
Which, you know, I could have gotten some other ones, but I didn't care enough. This one, it just kind of happened. It's like, oh, you're still playing the game here. Have the platinum trophy. Oh, okay, thanks.
Wow, yeah, that's pretty impressive. Because a platinum means you've gotten every single trophy, right?
Yep.
Okay, yeah.
I'm missing one from the DLC just because I haven't had the time to sit down and do it. It's just a stupidly long collection thing. But I don't know. It's a fantastic game, and if really, have you played it yet?
I have not. No, but it is something I have been interested in.
Because yeah, both you and Nate need to pick it up so I can, you know, power level everyone all at the same time.
Yeah, I'd be down, especially knowing that like the two of you play, or at least you do, Raymond. I mean, I would certainly be interested in picking it up.
Maybe, well, Jason tries to play.
Right. Maybe with some Christmas money, I'll pick that up.
But he got distracted by a certain game, which I don't think he mentioned.
We don't need to talk about World of Warcraft.
I wasn't talking about World of Warcraft.
Oh, Torchlight.
Yeah, Torchlight. You skipped over Torchlight.
Well, Torchlight's one of my top five.
Okay.
Wow. Well, not bad.
Because that really got Jason to disappear for a while. I'd call him Torchlight.
If you have not picked up Torchlight, you need to. It's $20, and it's
$10 this weekend.
Oh, is it $10 this weekend?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah. Pick it up. You will not be disappointed.
I was definitely interested in it. But I heard it's just single player. Is that correct?
It is just single player.
Yeah, see, that's kind of disappointing. I always played Diablo and Diablo 2 multiplayer. So,
well, the nice thing about I never played Diablo. Well, I mean, okay, I'm not gonna say I never played Diablo, but I did play them. But I never played them really like multiplayer. I always kind of played them single player. So I'm not really missing anything. And the game, they've just done so many good stuff, so much good stuff with it. Every time you create a character, you get a pet. You can choose between like a dog and a cat, and they work like a mule. So you can send them back to town with a pack full of stuff that you don't want to sell. You just pack them full of stuff, and you hit the gold button, and they run off to town and they sell stuff and they bring you back money.
Right, so you don't have to leave the dungeon.
Right, and it's just, you know, it's fantastic. The talent trees work out really well because you don't have to. It's not like WoW where once you choose a talent tree, you can only, you know, spend points in that talent tree. You can buy a level, you know, you can buy talents out of any of the three trees as long as you meet the level requirements. So you can really customize your character exactly how you want it to be played. My first playthrough, I'm playing as a Vanquisher, and I'm playing her mainly as ranged DPS. But I have an aspect that's a dual wielding, and I'm putting points into different rogue abilities so I can, you know, play her as a more of a like a straight on rogue class. And there's just so much good stuff there. The loot is fantastic. It's you know, some of it drops early on to give you a taste of what you're going to be experiencing later. And like they have, you know, the different the different levels, and they have set piece bonuses, and the art system is just fantastic. I really think they did a fantastic job with it. And if you listen to the developers talk, I mean, they are turning it into an MMO, and the reason they put Torchlight out as a single-player game is that they wanted to get it out. They wanted to get people, talking about it and exposed to the universe before they took the time to sit down and do all the balancing issues for an MMO, which,
right.
As a guy who's playing World of Warcraft, balancing issues are, just a thorn in my side, because every time that there's a patch that does something really cool to a class I like to play, somebody bitches about it, like, oh, it sucks for PvP, they're overpowered. Shut the fuck up, you PvP pussy. And shit gets screwed for me, just so that some guy could be like, return to his status of douchebaggery.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, and so that's the kind of the nice thing about Torchlight is there's cool stuff that you can do, really cool stuff, and nobody's going to bitch about it, and it's not going to get changed.
That's true.
So, I think it's just great. And if it's like, if Raymond says it's $10, then it's probably the best deal of the year.
I'll have to check on Steam. I mean, I definitely have $10 I can spend, and I was interested in. I was just a little disappointed that it was single player only, but. Oh, yeah, I see it right on here. We can deal 50% off.
Yeah, I finally bought my copy.
Yeah, so the reason I'm playing Torchlight is because Raymond was kind enough to give it to me as a housewarming gift. I was like, sweet.
Yeah, cool. You didn't... Did you get it before you got there? Or after?
After I got here.
Just because you were taking so long to hook your PS3 back up to the internet, so I wanted to give you something to do.
Well, yeah. Yeah. No, but, definitely Torchlight. I'll talk about it. I'll probably talk about it some more when we get to the top five, or I've talked about it enough, maybe. I'm not sure, but definitely, get your hands on it, check it out.
Yeah, so, I will definitely do that. I'm a little, like, when you mentioned that the dog will run back to town for you and sell things, I'm a little disappointed there wasn't a Penny Arcade trip about this, because that seems like it could be a good opportunity,
Just... Oh, there is.
Oh, is there a Penny Arcade trip about it?
Yeah, there's in the Penny Arcade trip, like, the dog's skimming from you.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. No, actually, now that you say that, that does sound familiar. Okay, that's perfect.
Yeah, he goes back to town, and, like, the guy gives him thousands of gold, and he comes back and he's like, oh, here it is. It's like, 200 gold. He's like, oh, good boy. Yeah, no, there's definitely a Penny Arcade strip, but, another cool thing about it is that, in the game, you can actually fish, which is something I've been doing a lot, because when you fish, you pick up, you can feed the fish to your pet, and it will change them into other things. You can change them into elementals or different enemies, and then your pet will take on their abilities, which is another kind of cool thing. So that's definitely good too.
So yeah, nice how I got us distracted like that.
You had to bring it up, man.
Well, yeah, I was surprised you didn't bring it up.
Well. Like I said, it was. I also didn't bring up World of Warcraft, which I'm playing a lot of right now because of 3.3. Yeah. But
how long was it when we weren't playing? It was probably like a month.
That we weren't playing World of Warcraft?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a month that we weren't playing.
Which is a long time for junkies like us.
So there was like a month where I would, where you wouldn't play and I would log on for like maybe like 5 or 10 minutes and go, what the fuck am I doing? And then log back off.
Yeah, now I think if you could find a way, you'd log, my account on and yours on at the same time.
Just so I could have the rogue follow me, because I could pull him through dungeons.
Yeah. I know you would. But see, what else have I been playing? Well, I played Uncharted 2, which met every expectation I had and then some.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely fantastic game. I was totally blown away that it actually got Game of the Year at the VGAs. Especially after the start of that show. Did anyone else besides me and Jason watch the VGAs?
No, I did not.
You didn't miss a lot, but the fact that was fan voting for Game of the Year and Uncharted 2 got it makes me wonder, did the Xbox fanboys just not show up to vote?
What did you think would beat it?
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
Oh, okay.
Because, I mean, every...
Halo.
Or Halo. I mean, anything
oh,
that they...
True.
But, no, I don't know. This just the Uncharted just really feels like playing an Indiana Jones movie.
Mm-hmm.
Much more than Tomb Raider ever did. And I just... I don't want to wait as long as I had to for the next one. I'd love to see him switch to, like, DLC bite-sized chunks just to keep me going.
Mm-hmm. Hi, this is what I talked about before Uncharted 2 came out, that this game is, like, perfectly suited for those little bite-sized downloadable chunks that, like, string Uncharted 2 together with Uncharted 3.
Yeah, but I also think if we go back and listen, you're the one telling me that Uncharted 2 wasn't going to be that good.
I was worried that it wasn't going to be that good because of Resistance 2 and how bad that game turned out.
But this did not fall into the Resistance 2 category at all. It was amazing.
Yeah, no, I will definitely eat those words. That any fear that I had that Uncharted 2 was not going to be good was completely, totally alleviated.
Yeah, I mean, if people have not played that game and they own a PS3, I just wonder what's wrong with them.
Well, that would be me, so I guess...
What? Have you played the first one even yet?
No. See, that's the problem. I want to play the first one first.
I mean, you really don't need to. They kind of fill you in on some of it, but a lot of the jokes will be even funnier because they're making references back to stuff that happened in the first one.
Right. No, I need to just, like, when I have some spare time, I think I'm just going to rent them. Like, just rent one and two and just kind of marathon it.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to take a long time to beat. But they are one of those games that I know I'm going to be going back to Uncharted 2 soon for, you know, a second playthrough. It's just, there's been so many other things I've been trying to play. Borderlands took up way too much time.
Right.
And I've...
Boobies.
And I'm getting to that. Boobies are good too, but...
Boobies now.
Really? You want to hear about boobies now? Yeah, okay. So what Jason's referencing is I've been playing The Saboteur.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was wondering where that was going.
And I'm not a fan of open world games at all. But something about The Saboteur, I like the characters, I like the setting, and Jason's reference is that it starts and the first thing you see is a naked woman dancing on stage. You get to see some nice HD video game boobies.
that's like the intro cutscene.
Yeah, and that kind of set the tone. And it's certainly not a game that I can play all the time. I have to make sure that the older child is at school or in bed because it's very vulgar and that has lots of nudity.
Huh.
In fact, with the Midnight Club add-on, you actually can watch different burlesque shows, and there's a three-woman one, which I have not watched yet, but I'm sure that'd be the first thing Jason would do if he had it.
I'm getting on the plane right now. We got to watch this.
Yeah, I already told you. I'll send you the game when I'm done.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but no, it is... I don't know. It's just... It plays a lot like... I don't know. I guess Grand Theft Auto, and it's open-worldness. I mean, you have your missions, obviously, and you have all the side things you can do. It's just really the setting and the way the city reopens as you take over parts of it. Plus, you're an Irishman that gets to kill Nazis. I don't know what more I could ask for.
Now, not to downplay my love of boobies, because I do love boobies, but a big part of why I'm excited about this game is that I am a huge World War II fan. I love Band of Brothers, Saving Private Ryan, like anything that takes place in World War II. Like I will never get tired of World War II games. So, and to see this game, which is kind of a different take on that time period, like I'm definitely super excited to check this game out.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's got interesting perk system. Like the more you use certain things, you get unlocked new abilities. Like now that I've stealthily killed a bunch of Nazis, now I can disguise myself, just walk up to them and punch them right in the face and kill them. I'm like, okay, this is handy. I'm trying to figure out how I get the trophy for smoking too many cigarettes because I haven't even figured out how you smoke cigarettes. He just seems to do it, but I have to get that one. That's just awesome.
Yeah, that's not a bad trophy at all.
Yeah, but no, it's a lot of fun. It's a game that I would have never even had heard of if it hadn't been for Nate mentioning it way back at the start of this year.
Right. Yeah, that was on his I think draft picks. That was one of the games he was most looking forward to this year.
So thank you, Nate, because especially when I saw we only got two copies to our store, I had to pick it up.
Yeah, it was sort of under the radar. It just kind of came out at a bad time at the end of the year here, I think.
And now, unfortunately, it's Pandemic's last game.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Which, it's much better than Mercenaries 2. I never understood the appeal of that game.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't do anything for me, and it looked ugly. I mean, it just, I don't know. But, yeah, the Saboteur is a lot of fun. That and playing Peggle. Damn Peggle on the PSN. They had to go put Peggle on the PSN. I mean, that was bad. I've been trying to play Mod Nation Racer since yesterday.
Fuck you. I did not get them. I did not get a beta invite.
Okay. Well, it doesn't much matter because the servers don't stay up long enough for you to get a race in still.
No.
You can modify your car all you want, but, I mean, the customization is great, but I can't tell you anything about how the game plays other than that so far. Let's see. I played some Pixel Junk Shooter. That is fun, what little bit I've gotten to play. DJ Hero was amazing.
Yeah, I like DJ Hero a lot, actually. I picked that up as well.
I think it's the best music game that's been released since the whole Guitar Hero Rock Band craze started.
Right. Well, because it's just different.
It's different. It's just, it's unfortunate that to play multiplayer, it's so expensive.
Well, yeah.
I've got a couple friends who have it as well, but even just transporting it to someplace else is a pain.
Yeah.
Well, didn't you get like the one that breaks down and it's got its own carrying case or something?
Yeah, I did, but not the rest of them, and I don't want people coming over here.
Oh.
No one gets to come play with all my fun toys.
Damn it.
Well, Jason, if you can stomach the cold, you can come up here, but you were complaining about 30-degree weather in Vegas, okay?
Yeah, I don't want to hear anything about that, Jason.
I'm not really complaining, all right? I'm just passing on the complaints of my girlfriend who does not like the 30-degree weather.
30 degrees sounds like summer right now.
I know, right? Try coming to like the northern Midwest area, and we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So, and let's see. Outside of Mobsters 2 on Facebook, that's about all I've been playing. I don't know why. I like these stupid little games on Facebook.
Well, you and millions of other people do.
And then I think for me, right now it's easy because, hey, I can just get up and walk away when I need to take care of the baby or go check on this or go check on that. It's not like I have to pause or anything. I can just get up and walk away.
Right.
Which is kind of nice.
Well, we could do the same thing with World of Warcraft. We're so well geared.
Yeah, but no.
Unless it's a boss, I don't really need you.
Well, that was the best thing about playing a rogue, is you really could just cloak and kind of hide in a corner, and you could go leave for a little while and take care of something.
He's not a rogue anymore. He's my healer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Priest or druid or?
Priest.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and I'd almost quit. Almost quit again. And I still don't think I'm playing all that much.
No. It's incredible. The number of times that he and I have either quit or almost quit is up there. I'd say combined we're like probably like 10-15 times that we either quit or almost quit.
Yeah, but I've lasted the longest staying away from it.
Is that 2 weeks?
I had a whole year away from it.
Oh wow, that is impressive.
I did like 4 months.
That's really impressive for you.
Oh, yeah.
Requesting signals or just signaling.
Alright, well, if that's all you can play, Raymond, I can talk a little bit about what I've been playing. I'll leave off one of the biggest games, which will be on my top five that we'll get into in a little bit here. But my birthday just passed, and so I picked up Dead Space, which I had never played, and then I also got the God of War collection, which I had never played either of those games.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess starting with Dead Space, I mean, I loved it. I already beat it. I beat it probably in about a week or a week and a half, and I might even play through again to get all the trophies, which I haven't done that with a game in a long time. But it was just it was a great game. Did either of you guys play it?
I own it. I played probably like 3 or 4 hours of it, and then I just kind of got sidetracked.
Okay.
And but lately I've just like I don't know how to explain it, but I've just been like I want to put that game in. I want to, you know, I kind of want to play it again. So
yeah,
I'm definitely going back to it.
I tried playing it, and there's just something about me and survival horror games that don't mix, even though they had much better controls than Resident Evil. I still couldn't get into it.
Really?
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, maybe the story didn't do anything for me. But
really? I loved all of that. I mean, it reminded so much to me. It was, you know, Aliens meets sort of Event Horizon. And I mean, I love science fiction to begin with, so the whole aesthetic was interesting to me. And I mean, it doesn't really stay survival horror for long. With most of these games, at least lately, you know, even like with Resident Evil 4, they eventually become more action games, like action suspense kind of games.
Right.
I mean, there were definitely moments where I was low on ammo, but I it was never scary. It was just a little nerve wracking, I guess, but not scary, I wouldn't say. But I think that's what I enjoyed about it. It's just, I mean, I played just on the default difficulty, but it was just difficult enough. I mean, there were times where I died, and there were times when I was low on ammo, and I was having to, rely on my melee abilities and picking things up in the environment and hurling them at enemies. But there were also times where I felt in complete control and that I knew what I was doing and I had adequate supplies and everything. So it was a good balance, I thought, between that, you know, between feeling in control and then something happening and all of a sudden realizing that, you know, you're not in control. You're going to have to fight to survive, so.
For me, that's one of the kind of interesting things about that game was, like, having to rethink how you shoot things. Because that game does not, you know, it doesn't want you to shoot things
in the head.
Yeah, it's like you have to kind of figure out, like, all right, which appendage do I need to cut off to do the most damage?
Right,
you know?
Right.
And then switching, I don't know how many other weapons there are in the game, but the couple that I had either a vertical or a horizontal firing mode.
Right. Yeah. The main pistol. It has that where it's the three across or it's the three up and down. Yeah.
So like having to switch, you know, switch into them on the fly to figure out, you know, which, you know, to kill them. I think that was a really kind of unique perspective to that game. And for me, I think space, like the space setting really fits the survival horror genre for me a lot better than, you know, the Resident Evil series, which is just basically like, oh, dude, it's zombies in Africa, like whatever.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I agree. I thought the space was much more interesting. I mean, you just feel isolated, and I thought the game just did also a great job of just introducing new little challenges from time to time, you know, whether it was the zero-G and having to maneuver the through these big environments and, like, jumping from wall to wall and avoiding enemies, or, you know, parts where you were, out in space or where there was no oxygen and, you know, you were moving slower. And I thought it was cool that there would be no sound. I mean, there'd be, like, soft, you know, like thuds, but there was no sound. The music cut out completely. You couldn't hear enemies just because there's no oxygen, so naturally there'd be no sound. And then you have your oxygen meter going too. I thought that, and even the upgrading, being able to upgrade all your equipment, and I remember one awesome moment too, sort of in the middle of the game. I don't know if you made it this far, Jason, but the like automated asteroid like destroying system, I guess, or whatever that you want to call it, like, is offline, so the ship's just being pummeled with asteroids. You have to actually put it online, but before it can go back on autopilot, you actually have to man the like the laser cannon for a while, and you have to like shoot asteroids as they're coming into the ship, and there's like a gauge of the ship's hull integrity, and you have to protect the ship until like the autopilot comes back online. And,
no, I didn't. I didn't get there. But no, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, another one that really the thing that struck me about the game was I really liked the character design of the main character.
Oh yeah.
You know, the way that his life bar is indicated on the back of his suit. The way that you know the way that the entire suit's designed, it just looked like it made sense in the environment and in that setting.
Oh, it was awesome. And then, yeah, I mean, with the cutscenes, how they just, you know, they appear before him, like, from, you know, it's, like, projected from his visor, so you can still move around and rotate the camera and everything as characters are talking to you.
Right. And in a way, like, the map comes up and the inventory, like, that stuff was really well done.
Right.
See, I liked all those parts. It was just something about the rest of the game that couldn't keep me playing it very long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a beautiful game, and it sold well enough for getting the sequel.
Yeah, I saw that it was on the cover of Game Informer.
I don't get Game Informer anymore, so we're not going to talk about that.
You don't get it? I thought you'd get it just for working at GameStop.
I'm not sure who's going to listen to this, so I'm not going to talk about me and Game Informer on the podcast. It's bad.
All right. Well, maybe we'll take a break from recording, and yeah, you can post show and you can talk about it.
Yeah, because Jason knows what I've done that's gotten me on their shit list. So,
wow, I was kind of shocked.
Really? Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, I'm excited to hear that. Well, I guess that'll do it for this week then. Just kidding. Dead Space was amazing. I thought it would be good. I thought I'd enjoy it just by my love of science fiction, but really it turned out to be a great game, and it might have been one of the best games I played from 2008, and even looking back at this year, like, it's probably one of the best ones that I played this year. So
what do you think about the addition of multiplayer to the second one?
I don't know. I mean, it could be a fun distraction, I guess. I mean, it's kind of the same thing as multiplayer in BioShock, I think. Unless they do something real interesting with it, or maybe even a cooperative mode through the campaign. That might be interesting, but much in the way that Resident Evil 5 worked, I mean, it'll be fun, but the atmosphere won't be the same.
Right.
So I prefer to not have that there. But the multiplayer could be fun. I enjoy the weapons. There could be some fun stuff with the Zero-G, you know, kind of running around. And I don't know. It could be interesting. But it's certainly not a selling point to me. I'd be more interested in just continuing the campaign. But.
Well, I'm sure this is where Jason's going to pipe in and say they're going to ruin it, kind of like Uncharted 2 was supposed to be ruined because of multiplayer.
Right.
Like, Uncharted 2 was complete and utter bullshit, all right? I was just lying to you earlier on, but that game sucked, hairy donkey balls.
That's just because you sucked at it, okay?
All right, that game was good. I'm not necessarily worried about multiplayer. I guess my main concern is just, like, I don't feel that every game needs multiplayer, and now it just seems like a lot of these companies are, you know, rushing to add all kinds of, you know, perceived value to games by throwing in a multiplayer and stuff like that. And, you know, my concern is that I just don't want to see I enjoy a single player experience in those style of games. And I don't want to see the single player experience suffer just because somebody felt that they needed to add value. If you need to add value to a really good single player experience, like Uncharted 2, like, not that the multiplayer is bad, I think it's fine. But I would have preferred that they take those people that worked on multiplayer and have them work on a series of downloadable content that, you know, bridges the story between Uncharted 2 and Uncharted 3. Or it doesn't even have to bridge. It'd just be like a smaller slice of... You could play, you know, in Uncharted 2, like how you bounce back to Drake's Pass. It'd be fantastic just to kind of bounce back to, like, you know, another part of Drake's Pass to flesh out the character. And, like, that's going to be value as well. You don't have to put multiplayer in all these games. You don't have to put a multiplayer in Dead Space. Although I think Dead Space, now that I think about it, I think it would be, like, a perfect game for, you know how a lot of the games have put in the, what was that mode on Gears of War 2? The Horde?
Like a survival mode, basically.
Yeah, I think that would be, you know, I think that'd be a really good setting to put that mode in there. I don't know if that's what they planned. If they're just going to do a PvP multiplayer, I'm not sure how I'm going to feel about that. But as long as they develop a solid single player experience, you know, like, if they want to add multiplayer, go ahead. Just don't let the rest of the game suffer because of it.
Right. Yeah, no, I would agree with you. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with that, but I am excited that there is a sequel. Hoping there will be a Mirror's Edge sequel someday, but maybe not.
I'm hoping on that too, but I get a feeling that's not one that they're going to go and make a sequel for.
Right, which is so unfortunate, because with all the critical feedback, I mean, much of the way that Assassin's Creed, you know, I mean, they seem to have listened to all the feedback and, you know, and improved the game, but I guess even the first game with the, you know, low reviews scores, it still sold incredibly well, which I guess Mirror's Edge didn't, so.
Yeah, I think because Mirror's Edge was a hard game to sell people on. It's like, how do you tell someone what it is? It's a free-running game where you get to kill people. Well, you can, but that's not the point.
Right.
It's all about running really fast, and, well, why would I want to do that?
Right.
Which is sad. It's a beautiful game.
Right, and the running just felt so right. I mean, it was a lot of fun to play. It was frustrating. Anytime there was combat, it was very, very frustrating. But when you were running on rooftops, it was great. And a friend of mine, he would come over, and we would just do the challenges, like the challenge modes, which was a lot of fun. But yeah, I don't know what will ever happen with that. But then the God of War collection is a lot of fun. Yeah, I'd never played those games, and, you know, I know there a lot of people love them. I think Raymond especially, I think you're a big fan of them, and you've chastised me for not having played them. But
no, that'd be Jason. I haven't played a second still.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought for sure. Okay. Was that you, Jason? You a big fan of them?
I would say I'm a big fan of them.
Maybe I made that up then.
Yeah, that's okay.
I don't know. I thought one of you was a big fan of those games. But
maybe it was Nate.
Yeah, maybe it was. I'm enjoying it. I'm still in the first one so far. And there's definitely frustrating elements. You could tell the game's several years old. Just, you know, there's little things with the camera or some of the platforming elements, you know, trying to jump and land on things. That's a little difficult at times. But, the core gameplay, the combat is phenomenal, and it is a lot of fun to just tear things apart. So.
Yeah, I've got that collection sitting on my shelf, but I have not even put it in yet to see how it looks updated. So,
yeah, I wish I would have played the original, but the update, I mean, it looks great. I mean, the 60 frames per second, I mean, you can just tell everything just looks so smooth. And the increased resolution is certainly nice as well. But, yeah, you'd have more to say about it than I would, having played the originals probably, or at least the first one. But.
Yeah, and I did play the demo for the third, though.
Oh, yeah, how was the demo? I haven't played that yet. I didn't want to play it until I had played the games.
The demo's really good. I think there's one mechanic I hope to get rid of, which is jumping across pits by using harpies, which just feels forced and stupid. But other than that, it really makes me want the game. So,
yeah. Sounds good.
It's just so violent.
Violent.
Yeah. Speaking of demos, Jason, Bayonetta sucked. Okay? Just getting that out there.
Oh, God. What's wrong with you?
I played halfway through it, was bored off my ass, and deleted it.
there's something inside you that's just it's either not there or it's just broken.
I'm telling you, the only reason you liked this is because when you got the big moves off, she was half naked.
It wouldn't, you know what? I honestly really wasn't paying that much attention to her character model. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with her character model. But I was more interested in the action on screen. I was more interested in just kind of like, you know, we could talk about this later. I don't want to take, you know, Nate still has to talk about what he's been playing.
Well, actually, it looks like Nate's not even here. He got disconnected, and as far as I can tell, he's not even online, so.
Yeah, oh. I'm not seeing him either, so. Well, you know, Jason's too busy playing WoW right now to notice.
Is this true?
I don't know what he's talking about. I'm not doing anything important. I'm just leveling a warrior. He's like level 8.
I was about to ask, if I log on, am I going to knock you off?
No.
Okay.
I'm on my new warrior, so.
Oh, is it the fifth one?
It's like my 50th warrior that I have, like, you know. I'll make it and I'll delete it and I'll make it and delete it, and so I'm playing.
You're awesome.
I am awesome, and it's about time that I got recognition for that.
Yeah, but Bayonetta is not awesome.
I don't know, dude. I thought Bayonetta was fantastic. Like, I thought the demo
was incredible. I'll have to check out the demo. I haven't played it yet, but I've heard a lot of discussion about it.
I mean, especially after playing the God of War 3 demo, it just didn't do anything for me.
God of War 3 was fantastic, don't get me wrong, but I kind of like the way that the game, like the different systems in Bayonetta come together, the way that the switching between the guns to the sword and the different specials she has at her disposal. I found that to be like really just fantastic.
But the different specials seem so random and not really controlled. And again, you have quick time events just like God of War has, which in reality didn't make sense for when they came up. All of a sudden, it wants you to mash buttons. And when I thought I was watching basically a finishing move on somebody, I was like, okay. I don't know. It didn't do anything for me.
All right. Well, yeah, I'll have to check that out. But why don't we go ahead and move into our top five and, you know, surprises and disappointments for this year. Anyone wanna get the ball rolling?
Well, we covered Jason's biggest disappointment, I think.
What was it? Oh, was well, no,
Call
what
of
was,
Duty.
Oh, yes. Was that your biggest disappointment, Jason?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that would also be my biggest disappointment, too.
Okay.
For a game that I really enjoyed the first one just for multiplayer, the second one's multiplayer just didn't add enough to make me do anything more than when I have friends over, that's what they want to play. All the games I have, they want to play that. So
right.
It's the only reason it still gets played.
I'm just so happy to know that there's somebody that's going to be sharing the hate mail with me.
Well, and, you know, it's not that there's anything technically wrong. I mean, the game plays well. Sure, there's been some glitches here and there, but it's just, it didn't bring the newness and the fun factor that the first one did. It just feels like the first one with some strange new choices for weapons and some strange omissions from the last one, and, I don't know, it just doesn't do it for me. I'd rather play Borderlands. And that's saying a lot, because I was hoping for the same amount of fun I got out of the first Modern Warfare, where, I mean, I literally spent months, if I wanted to play a first-person shooter, that's all I played. But I think I'm already done, except for when I have obnoxious friends come over that think that's the only reason to own a gaming console, is that...
Well, right, and there are many people that feel that way.
And there's many people that would be wrong and stupid, and if they come into my store, I will tell them so.
Yes.
So, what was your biggest disappointment, Scott?
Biggest disappointment, actually, because I haven't played, you know, I haven't played Call of Duty or anything, so I had to kind of think about this. But I think my biggest disappointment would actually be Resident Evil 5.
Solid choice.
See, yeah. For me, it wasn't a disappointment because I expected nothing from it to begin with.
Really? Well, I just loved 4, and I thought, I mean, if you're adding co-op, I mean, how could you go wrong? And to be fair, at the beginning portions of the game, I actually had a lot of fun with, and based on just that, I thought the game was going to be great. But just as it progressed, I mean, more of the story became involved. Yeah, ridiculous story, and yeah, you just reach a point where you just become overpowered, and you and your partner just work so well together that there's really no challenge anymore. It's not scary, it's not thrilling in any way, really. I mean, it's just kind of like a mundane process at that point. So
it's just basically turned into a third-person shooter.
No, nothing too special about it. So,
in other words, it's Gears of War.
Yeah, but not even probably as fun as Gears of War.
Well, it's got to be better because Gears suck too. But hey, look, more hate mail from me.
But yes, I think I was most disappointed by that. Resident Evil 4 was such a great game, and I had high hopes. And then, like I said, the beginning, I was pretty enthralled by it, but it just lost that charm quickly. So. But Jason, biggest surprise.
Oh, biggest surprise hands down is Arkham Asylum.
Oh yeah, good choice. I didn't even think about that.
Because I don't know, like I know we talked about this back when it got delayed. I know I myself was like completely worried when it got delayed at the last moment by 3 months. I was like, oh crap, what are they doing? Like, what's going wrong? You know, like, are they going to, you know, destroy this game? And they didn't. I mean, they really delivered a solid, solid title that, you know, not only is the best comic book game to date, but it's probably could easily be called the best game of the year.
Yeah.
And just to have like a studio who I had not really heard anything of prior to this game, and then having like Eidos attached to it, which doesn't have the best track record. Like, there was just a lot of stuff that like could have gone wrong with this game, and there's a lot of reason to call into, you know, to be worried about it. And they knocked one out of the park. I mean, it was a solid, solid title. It was, you know, very, very pleasant surprise.
See, I guess for me it wasn't as big of a surprise because I was so high on it to begin with that it was great, but not. I couldn't call it my biggest surprise.
Your biggest surprise is Borderlands.
Yeah, definitely.
That was an easy one.
That is easy because it was a game that I had absolutely zero interest in, and now I've, you know, it's starting to approach the Phantasy Star Online habit of addiction that it needs to stay away from me or I don't get anything accomplished, which is a good sign for a game. A very good sign.
I'd say it's a surprise for me, too, because I know that my initial, like, when I initially heard of this game, I know a lot of the talk was centered around how similar it looked to id's Rage. And that was kind of what it was known for, as being, like, really just similar to what id was doing. And, you know, and I gotta say that I'm not the biggest fan, like, even though I like World War II games, I'm not the biggest fan of the Brother in Arms series that what's the developer's name? Is Gearbox, mm-hmm. which is what Gearbox did before this. So I, you know, did not really know what I was getting into. And god damn, that game is so good. My only one small complaint with it, like seriously, is that it would have been nice if there was a variety of
weapon models.
Yes, that's what it. Thank you.
Instead of just different colors.
Right, yeah. Like some actual different looks. So, you know, this super gun doesn't look kind of like that other okay gun, but just a different color.
Right. You know.
Because there are some amazing, amazing weapons in there that look just like some of the stuff you had 20 levels ago.
Yeah.
Which is like, unfortunate. That always happened like in Diablo and stuff too, you know. But they just had all the same models. It would just be a different color, or it would glow, or, you know, just different things like that, or it was see-through.
Yeah. My biggest complaint with that game is that Jason can't hurry up and catch up to me. I want to see what co-op is like when we're both level 50.
Well, I'll tell you what. You take some of your vast riches and you buy us a second TV. That way Yoli can watch TV while I'm playing Borderlands. And we'll have that shit worked out.
Yeah, sure. Let me just hop on a plane and come do that for you, okay?
And don't even talk it over with the wife, because she doesn't need to know.
Fine. Yeah, I won't tell her at all that I just went out and bought another brand new TV. Yeah, she'll be okay with that.
Yeah, it's totally cool.
Yeah, okay.
we'll just say it was lap dances. Like, no, honey, that's not TV. That's lap dances.
Oh, I'm sure she'd be just fine with that.
$900 in lap dances? Well,
actually, we just went to the bunny ranch. Hey. That was 15 minutes.
Oh, God, yeah.
Scott, do you know what the bunny ranch is?
I believe so. Is that outside of Vegas?
It's actually closer to Reno.
Yeah. But it's the brothel that has its own TV show on HBO.
Right, that's what I was thinking. But yeah, it is. I mean, there are prostitutes there, right? That is the...
Yes, yeah. And their prices are insane.
Yes.
Yes, I mean, you're talking thousands of dollars for like a half hour. And well, it better be worth it, because Jason's paying for it when I go out there.
Jeez, oh, thanks. let me just start robbing banks now.
Hey, I said I'd pay for the Penn and Teller tickets. You can pay for the entertainment afterwards. Oh.
The post show.
Sounds like a fair trade to me.
Yeah.
But so anywho, my biggest surprise for this year was actually new Super Mario Brothers Wii.
Really, you like that?
Oh, I loved it.
God, I want to play the games. That's the reason why I'm missing my Wii right now.
Oh, it's so good. I mean, I think it's my biggest surprise. Well, A, I mean, no one knew about it until E3. I mean, it wasn't even announced. And to have it come out this year, I mean, that was a nice treat. And then, I mean, new Super Mario Brothers for the DS, I mean, it was fine, but it wasn't great. I mean, it wasn't what you'd expect after so long away from 2 years ago. But I just feel like new Super Mario Brothers Wii just gets everything right. It's just so much fun.
I just think the whole formula of Mario is stale and boring, and adding three more players doesn't make it more fun. It just makes it more miserable for people like me.
I don't know how you get to, I mean, maybe not with you, but I feel like with most people, I mean, Mario is what got you into gaming. I mean, it's universal. Like, you know, people will complain, you know, that they look at this game and they'll say, you know, well, they want something new from a Mario game. But, I mean, there's already, you know, 3D Mario games, and there's a plethora of different types of Mario games or games with Mario in it. But, I mean, 2D Mario at this point, I mean, that is a style of game. If you wanted a new style of game, I mean, you just wouldn't play a Mario game. I mean, I just don't understand that complaint. But, I mean, there's just something fun about a Mario game, and I think being able to play cooperatively at the same time with your friends just makes it so much better. I mean, it's so much more fun than any of the old games, you know, taking turns, you know, playing through levels.
See, I don't know. My friends would never play cooperatively.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, you could definitely get, you know, there's definitely moments where you guys just get pissed at each other. Someone accidentally took two of the mushrooms instead of just one, and then all hell breaks loose.
I guarantee you there wouldn't just be a few moments like that with my friends. It would be all the time.
Yeah, so it also depends on how you're playing it. I mean, I've definitely played with two of my friends, and it has been like that, but I actually played through the entirety of the game with my girlfriend, and, you know, we played through cooperatively as best we could, you know, trying to just play the game, and it was a lot of fun, and it worked well, and I just appreciate, too, that it includes so much from all the past Mario games. Typically, from Mario game to Mario game, I mean, the core elements are there, but they try to introduce, you know, all new power-ups and a whole new location, and they just try to make it different than the last one. And I think having so much time in between Super Mario World and then this, you know, next console 2D Mario game, that they didn't have to make it brand new. They could just include a lot of elements from past games. So, I mean, you know, whether it's Yoshi's or whether it's, you know, the map system from Mario 3 or Mario World, and, you know, the mushroom houses, and just all these different elements from past Mario games, that it's just a lot of fun.
Well, if you say so.
I would really give it a shot. Like, do you own it, or do you just play it at your store?
I've played a little bit at my store, and then at a friend's house who actually bought it, even though I told him he was stupid for buying it. I mean, I could buy it. I have a Wii, but it's not even hooked up to anything right now.
Mm-hmm. I would give it a shot. I mean, would your wife play with you, you think, or?
Probably not.
Probably not. Well, you'd want to get someone who could play. I've played single player, and I mean, the single player is fine, but really it is playing through with one or even two people who are committed to wanting to play the game. That it's a lot of fun.
Well, I have a 6-year-old. She could play with me, right?
Yeah. You might not get too far, but she could certainly try.
Well, that's not about how old everyone was when they first played Mario.
Yeah, I guess there's truth to that. Somewhere in that range, 6 to 10 years old, probably.
She's got to start somewhere, but, you know, I'd rather play Street Fighter with her, so.
Well, baby steps.
Baby steps, but, yeah.
But yeah, so that was my biggest surprise. It's just a lot of fun. And Jason, if you ever do get a Wii again, I would definitely recommend it.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be picking one up eventually.
Yeah.
I'll pick that up before I pick up a 360 again.
Yeah, I would recommend that.
360 is just garbage.
Yeah, I'm pretty much done with my 360 at this point.
I don't understand how people even continue to support the system. It's great to know you've bought something that it's not a matter of if, but when is it going to fail on you?
Right.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I had another really strange, actually, I had two other big disappointments. And
okay.
One of them was really odd for me, which was Brutal Legend. Oh. I was so pumped for that game. I was like, Tim Schafer, love his work. And then I couldn't get much more than 20 minutes into the game before I was bored into tears. The combat system has like two buttons. Oh, it has a block button too, but you don't need to use it. To my knowledge, you cannot take damage in that game. It's just, it was horribly, horribly boring. Story-wise, it was funny, but it just gameplay-wise, I mean, they were making games like that 15 years ago.
Right.
It's not what I wanted. So that was bad, and then Infamous was actually a disappointment in the long run.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You were all about that game when it came out.
Yeah, and me and Jason have even talked about this a little bit recently, that after your first playthrough, no matter which side you picked, there was no reason to replay it. Nothing really changed except for a few select cutscenes. Otherwise, everything was the same game again with a little slightly different tier powers, but otherwise, morally, it made no difference which way you played it in the long run.
Yeah. The first playthrough, don't get me wrong, the first playthrough was fantastic. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I thought the character was interesting. His girlfriend's a fucking whore, and at no point in the game did I really feel like I wanted to, like, I felt more attracted to the crazy chick in, like, the red leather that you fight the first time. I was like, I want to get with her. But that wasn't an option. But, it would have been nice if there had been, when as you play through Evil, if you had decided to team up with some of those gangs instead of fighting against them and not been just such a lone wolf, type person. I think it definitely sets a groundwork. I hope that they go back and revisit that world and, you know, improve upon it. And I'm interested to see where it goes. But yeah, in the long run, I don't think it had as much legs as other games that came out this year. So I could definitely see that as being a disappointment.
I'd actually prefer if they just go make, a PS3 version of Sly. I'd rather have a new Sly Cooper game than another Infamous at this point.
Well, yeah, no, I feel the same way, and I think they are working on Sly now. I think it's the next one. So, but just, you know, the groundwork's there if they wanted to continue this. I wouldn't mind, you know, another one of these games eventually.
Eventually, but give it a couple of years, maybe release some DLC that's not just the free stuff you got when you bought it the first time around.
Yeah. So. I got a disappointment for you, and this is going to be kind of weird because given my hate for Halo games, but we talked about the VGAs, and I'm going to get back to this in a second, but Halo ODST, like, wow, Bungie, way to pull the wool over our eyes. Like, oh, look, it's a team of people. It's not going to be the same. It's going to be different. Oh, wait, no, that team got separated. No, it's exactly the same as every other Halo game we made. Good luck.
Right.
You know, I thought that was just a real disappointment. I thought that they had the potential there to do something really unique and different from the other games and still kind of stay in that universe, and they just chose not to. And then, the talk now is about Halo Reach, and the VGAs had a little trailer, and I got news for you, Bungie. I was fooled once. I'm not going to be fooled again. Have you seen the trailer for Halo Reach?
I have, and I have no interest in Halo, so I didn't even... Didn't even look at it.
The trailer for Halo Reach has like your quiet Master Chief, your quiet Spartan, and you're walking around with this team of people, and they're all Spartans too, but they all have they all have character and dialogue and personality, and during the trailer, like, the your commander says, like, that lone wolf stuff's not going to fly here anymore. And oh, that's great. And then they show, like, you flying off to get into combat. And I'm like, I bet you money that as soon as you get close to combat, something bad's going to happen, and you're going to be a lone wolf again.
Right.
Oh. Like, hey, look at all these cool people that you're never going to interact with. Have fun.
No, that's just because Halo has never been a good game ever. It's just, I don't know, I don't understand. Oh, okay, I know. It's because it's the only thing that the Xbox owners have had, and I feel sorry for them. But it's the only thing they've ever been able to call their own since the original Xbox.
Right.
That was any good.
I wonder if when, when they first showed anything for ODST, you know, everyone was like, oh man, it's going to be a squad-based game, and, you know, that was the whole talk, and Bungie immediately, you know, didn't, you know, squelch that. They said, no, it's, you know, it's not going to be a squad-based game, it's not like that. And so I just wonder if after people were saying that, if they had all thought, well, maybe we should slow down on this, and maybe we should make it a squad-based game. Mm-hmm. But they just didn't, you know, they just went with what they thought people would want or what people were just used to or what they knew they could get away with, I guess. I don't know.
I think at this point, Bungie's just trying to get out from under Microsoft's contract, so they're just spitting out the games quickly to be done.
Well, aren't they technically, aren't they free now? Aren't they,
Well, they're technically free.
Yeah, they're technically free, but they owed Microsoft one more Halo game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's like, they're going to spit that out, kind of like how when Prince was getting out of his contracts with Warner Brothers Records, that he started spitting out crap just to fill his contracts.
Well, yeah, yeah.
So, that's what I figure they're doing.
Is that what Halo Reach is then? It's their final game?
I hope so. And then they'll turn it, and then Microsoft will take Halo and hand it over to someone even worse, I'm sure.
Right. They can't. They don't have any internal development teams anymore. Well, all they have is Turn 10, basically.
But they own the rights to Halo, so they could, you know, buy some studio and say, you're making the next Halo game.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I guess when you close down your internal development studios, it doesn't mean you're done making games.
Yeah, this is true.
Because, look, they announced Star Wars The Force Unleashed 2, and it's being developed internally at LucasArts, which closed all of its internal development last year.
We're going to now discuss our top five games of the year. And, I don't know, Raymond, why don't you start?
Are we going in, like, a particular order?
I'd say if you want to go ascending, that would be fine. So start with five and go up to one.
I can do that.
If you don't have them in order, you could just read them. That's fine.
Well, yeah, it's tough. I really couldn't put them in order. I guess I'll just start the way I wrote them down. I mean, Uncharted 2... I think if I was forced to pick one game, would probably be my game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'd hate myself for not putting Batman as game of the year.
Right.
Those two would go back and forth at the top of my list. Then, of course, Borderlands ended up there. Big surprise. DJ Hero. Because I'm so impressed by how much fun that is. And the music selection there is probably the best that's been in any music game. Even Jason would like it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the track listing is impeccable. I think there's so much on there you're going to know. And just hearing the mashups and stuff, it's always a lot of fun.
Yeah, it really is. And the other game, which was actually, I was looking forward to it, but I was expecting the same treatment that the game's always gotten, was the new Ratchet & Clank.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how they've taken the formula that they've always used and actually made it new again. Made it so much more fun than I was expecting. And it's still basically the same game, but they've changed just enough to go, oh, it's not just a new story with the same mechanics. And the fact that Ratchet and Clank aren't together and the Clank levels don't suck, fantastic for me. Because usually the Clank levels have been kind of like throwaways. Oh, we don't know what to do here, so we'll just have Clank do stupid stuff, and he can't even defend himself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Glad that's over. But yeah, but really, I think the two best games of the year, and I'd hate to pick one, would be Uncharted 2 and Batman. Batman was just so amazing, and Uncharted 2 was everything I wanted, and then more because of the ending dialogue, which I can't talk about because I'm not ruining it for you, Scott.
All right, great, thank you.
But Jason knows what I'm talking about. This the ending dialogue sequence in that game is just some of the most amazing writing I've ever seen in a video game. And great, now I want to go play it again just to watch it again. It's good stuff, and I can't wait for the third one. I'm really excited that the Arkham Asylum sequel's already been basically announced.
Yeah.
That was the best part of the VGAs, honestly, was the opening bit where you had this giant presence sitting on the stage, and you hear Mark Hamill's voiceover work, and then they show the trailer for the new Batman game.
Right.
Which didn't even show Batman, which I didn't care.
Right.
It's like, we know he's going to be there. Just seeing the Joker looking like he was still recovering from the beating he took was the cool part. It's like, this is going to be good. And as long as they, you know, follow in the footsteps that Naughty Dog did with Uncharted 2, that remembering that all you have to do is really polish what you have. You don't have to add more extra crap like most games try to do in sequels.
Right. You don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Right, because Batman has the best fighting system I've ever played in any game. Even though Jason tells me it's not a fighting system.
It's not really a fighting system.
You see, that's because you're not very good at it.
I think it's a reaction system. Like, you're just trying to put, you're just moving guys, and you know, you are fighting them to an extent, but you're just waiting for them to act so that you can counterattack, you know. That's, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it is fantastic. I mean, I'm not going to fault you for liking that game because it's going to be up there on my list as well. But I'm just, you know, just saying that, you know, there are, you know, obviously our tastes differ because you don't like Bayonetta, and I think I'm going to, you know, just thoroughly enjoy the hell out of it. But
and I still say it's because she's naked under her hair.
I'm not all about naked chicks, okay? There are other things I like about games, too.
Really? Are you sure?
World of Warcraft doesn't have naked chicks.
Oh, thank God. Because all we'd see is all the little 13-year-olds running around as naked blood elves and night elves.
Yes.
So yeah, that'd be my list for top five.
Well, that would keep them out of my pugs.
Everything for you is about that game.
Yeah.
All right, well, that sounds good. I'll run through my my five now, and I did put them in order. So, number five for me was Blueberry Garden, which I know neither of you played. Nate played it, so it's unfortunate that he's not here. But it was just a fun, quirky little game. I mean, for $5 and for, you know, really, I mean, you could play that whole game. You could play the whole game in you know, like a half hour. So, I mean, it was just a cool experience, and it's still a game I think about from time to time. It was just interesting. I mean, just to have this game come out of nowhere and it just drops you into it, and it, you know, you says just figure it out, just, you know, just go for it. And I just thought it was very very unique and a lot of fun, and I don't know, something I'd recommend that everyone just try, because it's such minimal investment both financially and time wise. So. And then four for me was Professor Layton in the Diabolical Box. I loved the first Professor Layton game, and this one was really just more of the same. I mean, there were a few refinements, but it was just a lot more, you know, puzzles and an interesting little story. And I just love the presentation of those games, and I especially love just kind of sitting back and, you know, just really working through the puzzles. I know it's not for everyone, but I've always I'm a fan of math. I always excelled in math, and so these Professor Layton games are perfect for me, because it's, you know, it's just like solving a math problem or any kind of problem, you know, you just work through it, and I've always enjoyed things like that.
I've always liked the looks of those games, and if I at all thought I'd ever use a DS, that would probably be one of the few games I'd play on the DS.
Right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, the whole aesthetic is certainly pleasant and, you know, easy on the eyes, so...
Yeah, and just like the idea of the puzzles, too. I mean, math was not something I enjoyed. It just, I happened to be good at it, so.
Right. Yeah, then I if you were good at math, I'd say you definitely would enjoy Professor Layton then.
I might have to steal my child's DS for like a week and just check that game out from work.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, either the first one or the second one. Really, I mean, you don't have to have played the first one to start with the second one. It's, I mean, some characters return, but those games are all about the puzzles, so.
Right.
It's no big deal. Number three then for me was Warhammer 40K Dawn of War 2.
Really? See, I never got past the demo for that.
Really? Well, see, I love the demo. I played the demo a lot. Because since there was multiplayer, I played the demo a ton. And I just loved the game. It just took the company formula and just streamlined it. I mean, even more, and really where it was just about, you know, tactics. No real base management. I mean, you could upgrade your main building two times to get to the next tier of units, but I mean, you could even do quite well without doing that. I mean, you could just focus on your main first tier of units and just the strategy involved, and once you get online and start playing with, you know, 2v2 or 3v3, I mean, it was just, it was always a lot of fun.
So have they done any expansions for that, or is it still, you know, just what came out of the box?
I'm fairly certain it's just what came out of the box. I haven't looked in a little while, but I have not heard anything. So, but I would think there would be an expansion coming soon. I mean, that
right, because it's missing a lot of races.
Right, exactly, from the universe. And I mean, the first Warhammer, you know, Dawn of War had like what, 5-6 expansions. So I would not be surprised to see some expansions down the road.
Yeah, I played the first one. I have all the expansions except for the last one for that one, and that's why I was kind of like, do I really want to buy the second one?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you played the demo, but the second one, I mean, it's, you know, it's basically a new game. I mean, the combat and the tactics are just completely different than the first one, I think. So I would definitely recommend buying it.
Is it on sale this week?
No, probably not, but I wonder how much it is right now.
It is $39.99.
Oh, is it still $40? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, what? Here's Chaos Rising for it, though. They're adding Chaos.
Oh, no! I thought Chaos Rising wasn't that the. Wasn't that the expansion to the first Dawn of War? Or?
No, this one says coming March 11th.
Oh, okay. So yeah, coming up soon then. I see that.
Maybe I'll have to give it this a look, because plus it'd be nice if you actually play to play with somebody.
Oh yeah, yeah. If you get the game, I mean, we can play that a ton. I love the game. I would easily play it a lot.
I don't even know if you're on my Steam's friend list. That's hilarious.
You know, I don't think we are. Yeah, we'll have to take care of that.
Yeah.
But anywho, so yeah, so that was number three for me, and then number two is really probably a no-brainer. Was NHL 10.
Big surprise.
Yeah, right. It's so great. I mean, I thought NHL 9-09 was near perfect, and NHL 10 just takes everything and just moves it forward, which I didn't really think was possible, but they did it. I don't know, the puck mechanics are, like the physics on the puck are different. It reacts more lifelike, I suppose. They've added a few more mechanics that you'd see in real hockey, whether or not that's, you know, the board play, you know, being able to hold players against the boards as you battle for the puck, or, you know, the right. Fighting, or even just some of the finer things like grabbing a puck out of midair and dropping it to your stick, or knocking a puck out of the air, or even your in high tense situations, well, actually on a loose puck, they will just slap it out of the air and out of your zone to you know, cool things down a little bit. So just little refinements like that, and they just streamlined everything, and it's certainly a fun game, and I think anyone, regardless if you're a fan of hockey or not, could play that game and could find something to enjoy about it.
Yeah, I keep meaning to check it out, but I mean, because I love hockey, but for some reason I can't bring myself to own sports games.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
I would do it. It's a game I still go back to. I mean, me and my friends will play, or I can jump online and play matches, and yeah. Plus, they added all the new alternate jerseys, so you could play as the Wild and play in that cool third jersey they have now. So
yeah, play as the Wild, a team that looked like they're going to be crap at the start of the year.
Yeah, they're turning things around a little bit now. They've won a couple, a good handful now, haven't they?
Uh huh.
Havlet's finally doing things. That's good.
Yeah, it's good. He's finally stopped realizing he doesn't have to be Marion Gaborik.
Right, right. Style of game.
Yeah, but I think we're boring, Jason. We got
No. I love hockey. Sorry.
You love hockey?
Yeah.
We could talk soccer.
Soccer's better.
Yeah, I have nothing to say about soccer. So, but anyway, I'll move on to my number one, and I've already talked about it enough, so I won't say too much more. But just new Super Mario Brothers Wii. I mean, I've already played it so much. It's a game that's easy to throw in when, you know, a couple friends come over, or, you know, me and my girlfriend have, you know, spent, I mean, when we got it, pretty much every night we would be playing. And even after we beat the game, we went through to collect the, in each level there's 3 star coins that are hidden throughout the level. And you every time you collect all of them in a world, you unlock a secret level in, like, World 9. It's basically, like, if you think of Super Mario World, it's basically the equivalent of, like, the ultra secret world, you know, that was after Star Road. So it's basically like that. It's they're super hard levels, and they're interesting. So those are a lot of fun. So we've gone through and trying to find all the star coins and everything. And I don't know. It's just a fun game and easy to play with people. And it's great. I'm excited to see what they do moving forward. But yeah, those are my top five there. So I'm sorry, Raymond.
You're just making me think I need to, like, give new Super Mario Bros. Another shot.
I really think you do. I mean, it's easy to if your friends are all just gonna mess around and you're all gonna try to throw each other in holes or kill each other, yeah, then it's gonna lose its appeal probably quickly. But if you play through cooperatively and you try to work together, I mean, there's just a lot. I think it offers a lot.
I'll give it another shot then, because I have to find different people to play with, because my friends,
Yeah, like I said, try to find 2 players is perfect, but even 3 players I think is doable, and just get a core group that really wants to complete the game, and I think there's a lot there.
Okay.
So, but Jason, what do you got for your top 5 of the year?
Top 5, I would have to start with Street Fighter 4. Is, you know, such a great refinement of the series. They really did they really took it up another notch. The new characters are great, the combat system is fantastic. And it just made me think back to all the, you know, countless hours I spent as an arcade, you know, playing the first Street Fighter 2. And I'm, you know, looking forward to Super Street Fighter 2 when it gets released, you know. Super Street Fighter 4.
Right.
Sorry, when it gets released next year. They really did a, you know, great job with that, and can't wait to see that. Number 4 would be Dragon Age Origins. Again, something that really kind of captured the, you know, my imagination, like taking me back to, you know, the pen and paper days of RPGs. I really felt like the characters got, you know, had some history, and you could develop them, and the interactions were great. There was definitely the option there to create your own backstory and your own, you know, particular take on the, you know, on the world. Was fantastic, and I really thought that BioWare stepped up and made a good combat system after, you know, a so-so combat system with Mass Effect. So I have high hopes for that game, and the downloadable content so far has been, you know, fantastic, and I can't wait to see where they're going with that. Number 3 would be Torchlight, which I already talked about, but, it's just one of those games where, you know, if you've got, you guys know I'm a WoW addict, right?
Right.
I'll tell you the best compliment I can give Torchlight is I was playing it so much that my girlfriend said that it was worse than WoW.
Wow.
Yeah. That's pretty amazing.
And the world is fantastic. There's not a whole lot of interaction with the NPCs of the universe. I mean, they do have limited dialogue, but there are some pretty funny characters that you do talk to from time to time. And just the fact that, you know, even though it's one singular dungeon, that the tile sets for each, you know, set of levels is so, you know, different and unique that you never really get bored, and you don't see, the similar tile sets. I haven't run into identical tile sets yet, and I'm like 20 some odd levels down into the dungeon. And the game does have lots of, you know, well, just lots of replay value. And if you want to kill a Sunday afternoon and, you know, spend 6 hours in front of your computer, you could do that. If you've got, you know, like half an hour of time, you know, you just want to clear out one room of a dungeon, Like, that's more than enough time. And the way that the, you know, the, I'm not a big PC player, so I'm sure this is something you guys are all used to, but just being able to, you know, stop the game at any time and, you know, save wherever you're at and just come back to it later is, you know, it just makes that process so much easier. You know, like I said, I'm mainly a console gamer, so I'm not really used to that whole, like, oh, I can just stop it right here. Sweet.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's not new technology by any means, but certainly, yeah, it's always, well, appreciated.
Yeah. Well, and for this, you know, and for this game, it really, you know, makes it all the much easier just to kind of hop in for, you know, 20 minutes because you don't actually have to finish anything. You don't have to find a save point or a crystal or a glowing patch of, you know, shit on the ground that you stand in to save.
Right.
You know, you're just, you know, you're just, you know, like, saved, right, I'm done, I'm, you know, I'm out. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I'm going to have to go with, you know, the so far, I guess the consensus is Uncharted 2. I say it was probably my number two. Raymond and I talked about this, and for the first time in, you know, probably quite a long time, when I saw a trailer for Uncharted 2, it kind of made me feel like I was seeing a trailer for a big budget action flick. You know, it was a trailer that was released just, I think, like the month prior to the game coming out. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, it was very cinematic. It had a great soundtrack, and it just was like, it made me really think that, you know, I was not looking at a game. I was looking at, like, the next, you know, film in the Indiana Jones series. And they just did a remarkable job with that. So, and my fears of, you know, of the game suffering because of the multiplayer component was unfounded. I thought the multiplayer was, you know, fun and engaging and, you know, entertaining. So that's great. And, you know, like Raymond, I can't wait to see where the series goes. And, you know, I beat that game when I had my old PS3. So now that save file is gone. So I do have to play through it again. So I'm actually kind of looking forward to it. So, although Raymond and I had a small disagreement about the game.
Which disagreement?
I felt that towards the end of the game, when you play it, Scott, mm-hmm. there was, to me, it felt like the end of the game is just like building in intensity, and there's so many spots in the game where you're thinking, like, this has got to be it. This has got to be the end. Like, this is so such an intense moment, you know, such an intense action sequence that, like, I'm done, and you're not done. It just keeps going, and you're just wow.
I think that's what made it fantastic.
Because
you get all those moments, and then they wrapped it up in this perfect cutscene of an ending. I mean, you can't tell me that there's anything wrong with the way the actual final cutscene is, can you?
No, but I also didn't really enjoy the last fight either.
The last fight, whatever. We don't want to talk about it because Scott needs to play it.
This is true.
But you know, it was just a minor. You know, if you had to ask me which was the better, you know, final fight, I'm going to tell you that the next game had the better final fight, which was Arkham Asylum.
Mm. See, it's funny because I never beat Arkham Asylum, unfortunately, but I heard people complain about the final confrontation with the Joker.
It was too easy.
I didn't think it was too easy.
I don't know how you can say that. I mean, it was probably the easiest boss encounter in the game, and it was the final fight.
For me, I think, you know, the whole. Sorry, hold on. I've never seen the relationship between Batman and the Joker as a physical, violent relationship. Like, they are both capable of, like, you know, incredible acts of violence, but I don't really look at the Joker as a physical threat. You know, his threat is all, you know, mind games, and I thought that in this game that, you know, the whole challenge of the game is not, you know, the confrontation with the Joker. It's how the Joker is bending Arkham Asylum to challenge you, you know, to challenge Batman. So I thought it was really good the way it was done, and you know, when it got to the end of the game, I didn't necessarily feel like I wanted to have a huge physical fight, you know, knockdown, drag off fight between me and the Joker. So I thought that, you know, the way it ended was, you know, was really good, you know.
It was a good ending. I think Uncharted was better. I'm going to stick with that. So,
I
meaning because Uncharted actually felt like closure. Arkham does not.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I think the thing with Arkham is that, coming from the comic book genre, like, you know, you collected comic books like I did, you know, most comics, there is never really a cut and dry ending to a comic. There's always that one last panel that's got, you know, some type of alluding to a future confrontation or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I thought that, you know, the way that Arkham Asylum ended was like, okay, you know, like they're alluding to something going on, you know, down the road. And, you know, now that we've seen the announcement of the sequel, like, I know we're both excited to check it out. So,
definitely.
So, Scott, why didn't you finish Arkham Asylum?
Well, I rented it and just didn't finish it in that rental, and then I just never had a chance to get back to it. I think it came out around the time I just moved to my new apartment, and I had in no way had money to buy games at that point. So, yeah, I rented it, and I just never had a chance to play all the way through it. And that's really why it didn't wind up on my list. What I played, I enjoyed, but I couldn't really put it on my end of the year list without having played it more to know how I really felt. That didn't feel right, but I mean, what I played, it was certainly an excellent game, and it is something I do plan to go back to. In fact, one of my friends ended up buying it a few months ago, so I think I'm going to borrow it and maybe play it over this, you know, holiday season, like Christmas and New Year's and all that time, since I have a lot of time off. But
yeah,
but it was a great game, to be sure.
So,
all right, well, I guess that wraps up the top five. I mean, did anyone else have any anything they wanted to add? Or
I wanted to add, there was one game that I considered putting on my list, but I haven't played it enough to really, you know, is and I, this is also something that's going to cause Raymond and I to get in an argument. Kingdom Hearts 358 over 2 days.
Ugh.
Wow. Okay. Is that the DS one?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
And I don't know what to I don't know what I was expecting for this game. The title was completely bizarre, and I although I did not mind Chain of Memories, it was not my favorite Kingdom Hearts game, so I was kind of leery about another handheld title. But 358 over 2 days really is a fantastic handheld title. I mean, it is, you know, everything I need from a handheld title. I could pick it up and play it for short bursts. I could play through a day or a few missions, and you know, drop it out, you know, stop and come back to it later. The deck system that you use this one isn't like Chain of Memories, where you actually are playing cards. It's like you have you unlock slots in the deck, and then you can assign abilities to them so that and it doesn't come up random. And like once you pick up like magic, you can just put it in the deck. You can always cast that magic as long as you have like charges. So it's just a lot of customability for you know, changing Roxas to match your playstyle, and having to find out which deck works, you know, for which mission. I thought was fantastic. So that's something that if you have a DS and if you're looking for a new game, I would suggest checking that one out.
Okay. Yeah, maybe I'll have to.
But it's still garbage because it's Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, it's the worst of both Disney and Square, which means you have these effeminate-looking main characters combined with obnoxious little twits that are Disney characters. Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
It is. It is fun.
Okay. I'm telling you, just wait till they mix the Marvel characters into it next.
I will be all over that.
Whatever makes you happy, sir. Whatever makes you happy.
It does make me happy.
Oh, speaking of happy things, did you see the Torchlight got updated with achievements for Steam?
Oh, no, I did not see that.
Yeah. It now has achievements. It's like, great, No, I'll never see Jason again.
Ah, that's nonsense.
I gotta get going, though.
Yeah, I gotta go. Oh, look at this. What's going on?
For the time being, I'm kind of like back into the comforting folds of World of Warcraft.
That is sad, sir. Well, have fun playing my rogue.
And that is until Star Trek comes out, and then I'll see what that's like. See if my computer can actually run it.
Yeah, well, my WoW account closes the day that Star Trek goes live, so that should tell you something.
That worked out well.
Yeah, it worked out really well. I'm like, sweet, jump on this Star Trek ship, let's go.
Yeah, I just hope and pray that it's not like a, you know, it's not the second coming of Star Wars Galaxies.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I haven't heard too many great things about it, but...
No, that's the BioWare game, because all BioWare games suck.
Oh, I don't know about anything about that.
I could generate so much hate from people just by saying that I hate all BioWare games, because every single one of their systems are horrible. They tell a great story, but their games are unplayable. Absolutely unplayable.
Man, I'm telling you, Dragon Age is not like that.
You also told me that Bayonetta was good, and that was a pile of trash.
That's because there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, I still have my man card, apparently.
Oh.
We can save the BioWare discussion for another time. But yeah, for all wrapped up on the end of the year stuff, we could probably go ahead and end the show here, if you guys are all right with that.
That sounds fine with me.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll probably take a week off next week, it sounds like. And then, yeah, hopefully we'll have one the week after, though. Let's try to make a commitment, guys, and make that happen.
As long as I still have lungs.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true.
We can just put him on an iron lung and he can talk from the hospital or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, I guess with that, then... For Raymond and Jason, this is Scott, and we'll catch you guys next time.
Rolling cable slick with beer to hang up on the broken stands. The house lights lit our injuries for crowds of plastic cups that clapped beneath bartenders' sleepy brooms. And boom, 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 when amps and cases down the stairs into the parking lot out back. A burst of moon, a blast of air, an understanding somewhere between the turning signal clicks. The shiny food we found with gasoline. The daily prayers of setless tender jokes about retards and crashes and queers. I lost the chiming ring of keys to everything. Safely locked away back home. Safe and safely locked away back home. Safe and safely locked away back home. Safe and safely.